Listen up! You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones!
Great morning, great morning, great morning. You know how I know it's a great morning? And you're like, Ambush, don't be so presumptuous. No. I know that your morning is great because we are in an era. That's right, we're in a birthday era. We're in a week in which one Morgana Jones.
Morgana
was thrust from the cosmos through her mother's loving embrace onto the world.
Oh, wow.
Yesterday was Morgan's birthday. So you know what that makes today? The rest of Morgan's birthday.
Oh.
It's a continuation. Like we always do at this time. It runs all the way to Sunday. It's how we do it around here. It's Morgan time.
Oh, instead of Morbin time.
Yeah,
okay. Okay.
There's a couple things in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. How are we?
We are bruised and broken today. I don't know what's going on.
Back,
well,
man.
I mean, I do, but
back
I don't.
Not cooperating.
I mean,
it's like your back is anti-union. You know?
No, go on.
It's trying to throw everything out of whack. It's union busting against the rest of your body.
I like this.
It's rebelling.
It is a rebellion.
Yeah.
Lower back is just on a full blown rebellion, a revolt, if you will.
Ma'am or sirs, whatever your gender, your lower back is, ma'am or sirs, please.
Fair.
Let's
non-binary problem.
Yeah. Okay. Let's work together with the rest. That'd be cool.
It'd be so nice.
Especially during a birthday week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's been a painful I don't know how many days, but today is the worst and it's hard. You know how like sometimes if you're in a lot of pain, it's kind of hard to breathe. Like,
yeah,
that's where I'm at.
I hate that one.
You can't get a good breath because somehow a big deep breath makes my whole entire lower half feel like it is going to disconnect.
Yeah. It's that pain where, again, that deep breath will now cause, if you feel that if I breathe a little bit deeper, a fingernail might pop off.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's just what,
or a pinky toe.
Yeah, just
one of the two.
Or you might lose.
Am
a whole
I eyelash. Literally a jalopy?
Something's just gonna pop off. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah,
that's where I'm at.
Yeah,
I don't have any money for a bacchiotomy. You know?
No. And healthcare isn't doing what it should.
So I'll just.
Thanks, Obama. Thanks, Joe Biden. You know, whoever.
Where is the you know, super soldier program where you get to sign up and then you become an X-Men?
You want the serum?
I want my back to not feel like this. I want to be able to walk and it not be the most painful. I want to be able to sit or stand or lay down without it being.
So now I'm in this world now. Where you enlisted?
Where I'm opting in?
Yeah, you enlisted the program. You opt in. You go through all the, you know, through all the different motions,
yeah,
tests and all of that. You get it, and now you're like, you know, you're Bucky. You're embedded in the community. No one knows who you are and what you do.
Yes, I am the summer soldier.
You're the summer soldier.
Winter soldier. Yeah.
And then you get the call. You're like, nah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And they're like. But you're like, this was for my back. And you guys did really great work. My back is amazing.
You guys should give this healthcare to everyone.
Yeah, but I'm not doing it. I'm not carrying out any assassination. Sorry. And you can't make me because I'm super strong now. So.
Do you think they controlled Bucky? So.
They did. Well, to be clear, 'twas the Russians that did that. So I don't think you signed up for that program. They didn't put anything in Steve here stateside.
Well.
They didn't put anything in Luke Cage. They didn't put anything in Wolverine. There's a couple people stateside that went through the program that didn't get anything.
No chip insert.
Yeah, no deep programming. So I think you'd be good on it, you know. But again,
no code this is, words that make you
right
kill strike or whatever.
However, we are in the Trump administration. So you're rolling the dice here.
Yeah.
The Weapon X program.
Yeah.
Yeah. But your back will be better. So maybe.
I mean, might be worth it.
Yeah.
Worth a shot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or still in the same universe, hop a flight to Wakanda.
Oh, they would just fix me right up.
Bam.
Yeah. And I wouldn't have to, like, my spine would just be like vibranium.
Yeah.
Right? Boom. Is that what it's called?
That's exactly what it's called. And you'd be good to go. You'd be good to go.
Yeah. Shuri, help me up.
So that's where we are. It's your birthday. Let's make it happen, guys.
Happy Juneteenth, everybody.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Finally made it. Are y'all at work?
Rudo.
Do y'all have work?
What were your plans for Juneteenth? Didn't you have big plans? Was going to do a stop and chat? I can't remember where we left that conversation.
Got to get with it.
I do. I have to get with the now. There's a lot going on. I got to get with the now. There's Doomteenth tonight. There's Doomteenth the next 3 days.
Wow.
You know?
What does that mean?
It's a 3-day art installation. I'll be providing music and creating some of the vibes, you know. Some will be live, some will be pre-recorded over at Black Futures Farm. I got a chance to see the installation at, I want to say, 70% completion yesterday, and it is amazing. The art is just... It's to behold. It's something to behold.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be some storytelling elements as well. Shout out to Malcolm. So that's tonight and, you know, the next 3 days. We have our Juneteenth. We're have a hosting gig in Lake Oswego for, Sunday for Juneteenth. I got a carnival party with me and A-Flat and DJ Storm Jr.
Super fun.
You know what I'm saying? Friday.
Okay. See, I thought you were going in order, and then you took me from a Sunday to a Friday.
Yeah, I'm just going in the order in which I remember stuff.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
And then,
when you say Friday, you do mean tomorrow.
Holy crap. Yes.
Is that right?
That's tomorrow. Wow. That was still like 2 days away in my head. Friday was Tuesday.
It's a good thing we're talking this out right now.
It is.
Yeah.
Thank you. And then No Request is Sunday, and it's a big one. It's the Bay versus Queens. And I got some prep to do.
Mm.
I got some prep to do, you know?
Do you just want me to
put my Bay playlist together?
Yeah, ghostwrite
my Bay crate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, you probably could ghostwrite both crates.
Possibly.
You possibly can ghostwrite both the Bay and the Queens crates. Guys, this is why I'm with her. I want you to know that.
the musical goodness. Knowledge is...
It's quite immense. It's quite immense. It was a lure.
Mm. We got a text that says train car, and I don't know, what are we saying here?
Not sure.
Maybe is that where I go get my back fixed?
Right. Is there a secret facility in a train
facility?
Car? It pulls up.
Ooh.
Down by the Costco?
Oh.
Is that Lombard?
No, that's
Sandy.
Sandy?
Down by Sandy. Is Lombard turning to Sandy? Lombard?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, okay. I got confused the other day I was out that way.
Over there?
Because I was like, wait a minute, why am I on Sandy? I started on Lombard.
I just kept going straight. What happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. I think right where you get on 205 is where it changes.
Yeah, right there. At that intersection, it curves a little bit and bam.
Yeah.
Sandy comes down and into it. Oh, man. But yeah. We're going to look for the train car and get your back fixed. And other things that Well, maybe it wasn't on your radar. Maybe it wasn't something you expected. Ambush. Spent about an hour last night, maybe an hour and 15, while spending some quality time on the couch with our littlest, Free, and working on the news. I spent about an hour and 15 minutes jacking up my algorithm.
Oh, don't
watching some Tucker Carlson.
I know, guys.
Ambush, what are you going to watch Tucker Carlson? Well, Tucker lit up the internet yesterday with some clips from his interview with Ted Cruz, and it got spicy. He was checking Ted on his support of Israel. He was checking Ted on his knowledge of Iran. There were a couple of different points in there, and it was just like, wow. And it got contentious. Like, Ted called him anti-Semitic.
He did?
Yeah, yeah. They were trading some barbs.
What did he say? Do you know what Tucker said that made him say that?
Well, he just kept questioning his support of Israel. It was like, but why? Like, he said, you came in. Like, Ted said, when he came into his office, one of the things that he was very loud about was how he's going to come in and be one of the hugest supporters of Israel. It's a primary focus for him. And Tucker said, well, why? He was like,
they be paying me. What do you mean?
He was like, why? And he said, well, because the Bible says that, you know, those who support Israel will be blessed. And I want to be on the blessing side.
That's what Ted Cruz said to Tucker, McNair, Swanson, Carlson.
Yes.
I'm still getting that order wrong.
And Tucker said, well, I am a man of faith. I'm a Christian myself. Mm-hmm. What you're telling me is that the Bible says we are supposed to support the government of Israel in 2025. How long has Israel been around?
Oof.
Like, he's the way Tucker is like taking him apart. It's interesting to watch Ted not necessarily squirm, but he keeps getting caught off guard. Like, why is this man talking to me like this? And he stops saying, hey, you know what? I mean, and so he gets to the point where he calls him anti-Semitic. And he was like, oh, well, okay.
Oh, yeah. Like, that would ever hurt a white supremacist feelings. Like,
yeah, well, you know, that's not true. I'm simply asking you, very simple questions. And he's like, he said something to the effect of, does AIPAC represent the government of Israel? And Ted's like, no, it's American-based Jewish organization.
Ooh.
And Tucker's like, but are they in conversation? He said, well, PACs are in conversations. Organizations are in conversation with many countries. Yeah, I'm in conversation with Israel. And he's like, okay.
Honestly, I would have asked, do you know what AIPAC stands for?
Yo, it got to the point where Tucker was like, I'm asking you very simple questions and you're squirming out of it. And everyone already knows the answer. Oof. I'm just trying to figure out why you're not being clear about it.
Why you don't know the answer. Real quick, because I want to tell you about the couple of clips that I saw.
Yeah. But
we got a text that says, production note, you have a nasty hum in the background. Thank you, number one. And number two, will you let me know if it's still there?
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John. So, first of all, AIPAC. The American Israel Public Affairs Committee. Hmm. There's the word Jewish isn't in there anywhere.
Mm. Israel is, though.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Who's doing the conflating of the two? You know what I mean? For Ted Cruz to be like, well, I mean, it's for the Jewish people.
Like, right.
No, it's not.
No.
It's also in the name, Public Affairs. This is the PR arm of the state of, or I mean, I don't, the, yeah. of Israel.
Yeah.
Israel. So I saw a couple of clips as well. And one in particular was about Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And Tucker was like, do you know the population? And Ted was like, no, why would I even care, basically. You know, like, yeah, it's funny to see, like, the smug off that's happening between the two of them.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, just basically like, I mean, pish posh. Why would I even know that? And he was like, well, you're saying you want to overthrow the government. Do you know how many people live there? And he was just like, I mean, people, I guess, I don't know. Like, why would I know? And he was like, 92 million. And he was like, well, what's the difference? Right.
Because Ted threw the question back at him. Well, since you know so much, how many people are there?
Yeah.
And Tucker was like, 92 million.
92 million. Are you telling me you don't know anything about the place that you're saying you want to overthrow? And I want to be very clear. This is not us being like, pro Tucker by any stretch.
Not even close, bro.
Interesting to see that he's been like this supposedly has been, he has supposedly been an anti-war dude.
Yeah. his reasoning is because he wants the money spent here at home.
Yeah.
Should be spending money.
Non-interventionist. Yeah. Like, we don't have any reason to get involved in the, you know, those places that have nothing to do with us.
Right.
And I don't, you know, I don't know enough about Tucker Carlson except for all of the bad things. And not all, but many of the bad things. I don't know any,
Are there good things?
I don't know his motivations to ever be good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So his non-interventionism and non-war kind of, I mean, he's perfectly fine with colonialism and displacement and, you know, harm of other people. So it's not that he's like, for peace. It's
no, that because he made it clear yesterday that he's also down for retaliation. So
it's hard to retaliate when you are always the one doing the aggressor.
Yeah.
Aggressing.
Yeah.
Retaliation is like not a part of the equation.
Yeah.
It is in the way that we're going to frame it.
With
you know, because Israel's got a right to defend itself. Mm. So this is just retaliating against the aggressor. That happened to us.
With Bibi now claiming that Iran has been attempting to assassinate Donald Trump, Tucker said, well, why haven't we just blown them up?
Right.
Why haven't we been attacked?
Why hasn't there been an action, a military action, if that was the case?
So then Ted says, we are. And he was like, well, that's news to me.
Breaking news, friend. Just told us.
We weren't.
It was Israel. Oh, well, we're helping. We support them, and so we're helping. That moment was definitely more than interesting, because Tucker legit was like, oh, well, now, wait a minute. I don't think you realize you just told on the White House.
Yeah.
And he said, that's breaking news.
That's breaking news.
Because the White House said yesterday, my name is Bennett and I ain't in it. Mm. I ain't got nothing to do with that at all. And Ted's like, I said we, you know, because it's us. It's both of us.
Mm. Mm-mm. Yeah, that was interesting.
Imagine getting tripped up by... Like, that, it was so funny. Like, you're saying we have no, that's them. You know, of course we support them, but we got nothing to do with it. Well, but you just said that they're trying to assassinate our president. Yeah, and we're getting back at them. But wait.
We who had nothing to do with it are now getting back at, what is happening? Senator Cruz. Yeah. There were definitely some hilarious moments.
Ted was not prepared.
No.
And, you know, when you're going on any show that has been sort of your soft place to land previously.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, Tucker has had contentious interviews with people, you know, it's not like he's always in agreement with what all the politicians are saying or doing, but It's definitely more likely that Tucker is on your side if you are a conservative.
Yeah.
And Ted was lost. Like, this, he legitimately was like, who is this guy?
I will say this. There was a little bit of prep on Ted's part because he said he read Tucker's newsletter that morning and he had read a previous newsletter where he would took shots at Trump. So Ted pulls out a piece of paper and he was like, and this was Trump's response to your criticism, and reads it. Oh. And Tucker says, ooh, got me.
What?
Tucker has been doing what he's been doing for so long that the moments that in which he is attempting to communicate sincerity are clearly continued disrespect. But for some people, they're going to miss it.
Mm.
And for others, it's just like, wow, like, he made it worse for you just now. So he's going back and forth. And Ted's like, I just wish you would just stop being so condescending. I mean, we're trying to have a conversation here.
Tucker, sir, that's the only tone I speak in.
Tucker makes the most straightest face. And he says, you know what? That's on me. It's a tick. I'm sorry. I apologize.
What?
I sincerely apologize. It's a thing I do. I'm working on it. I apologize. And then gets right back into business. But the face Tucker is making is like, oh, snap. Like, he just formed Voltron. He does not apologize.
He does not apologize.
He does not apologize.
In fact, is not sorry.
And you may or may not have gotten that, Ted. And there are people who are watching that think he just apologized. But the way he did it, it's like, give me camera. Watch this.
Oof.
My acting debut here. I was like, whoa. I was like, yo, he's a super jerk. Yeah, yeah. He's a super duper jerk.
No question.
Yes.
Text here. Good morning, fiancés. I celebrated at midnight. Not that it's now Juneteenth, but that it's no longer the 18th of June.
Wow.
Wink, wink. Har, har, har.
Rudo.
XOXO Rudo.
Rudo. When on my birthday post for you yesterday, he commented, who?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it right before bed. Right before I fell asleep.
Oh my gosh.
More nightmare fuel from Rudo. Good morning, Michelle. Happy Morgan Days and Juneteenth. May the extreme right eat itself more effectively and publicly in your honor.
Ooh.
That is probably the best birthday wish I have ever received.
Wow. That sounded like a birthday wish / incantation. That was great.
Oh, it might work.
Mm.
Maybe it'll work.
Way to go, Michelle.
Yeah. I would love that.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
I mean, they're doing a pretty good job right now. I don't know how much it's going to translate to changes, you know, but.
Yeah, which is my greater point of even bringing this up. So a similar thing happened. I watched happen with Anna Kasparian last week or the week before. She was on, I can't remember whose show it was, and she was discussing, the conversation was about Israel and Palestine conflict. And in this particular conversation, Anna is very, very livid. She's talking over this person. She's just fed up with the propaganda she's hearing coming from Israel and people that are supporting Israel. And she's telling the person, shut up. Like, she's going hard. And I have issues with Anna. I've had issues with Anna for quite some time. When it came to the Aziz situation, she was a sexual assault apologist. And she's a TERF. Unapologetic.
Yeah. Well, don't call her a birthing person. That is probably the most offensive thing. You also, never been called that.
She's never
literally never been called that.
Right. And I first saw this on I first saw this exchange on Instagram shared by someone from a very popular, high profile person from the trans community had posted it, and people were celebrating it. Like, these are people who didn't know who Anna was. like, you know, oh my God, girl, she went hard, da 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 da. And I'm like, listen, hello, we cannot do this broken clock is right twice a day thing. We can't do this. We cannot celebrate. The bar is in hell. I get it. But when you have a Tucker and you have an Anna and you have a whoever the name of the week is, these people who are literally caping for your demise, you cannot celebrate the moments in which you agree with them. You just can't. You're setting yourself up for something down the road. You are spreading this person. You're spreading their brand. You're creating additional awareness around someone who was actually harmful.
Right. And framing it as if they are helpful. Right. So if you don't, and here's the thing, you can't know everything about everyone. Right. And you can't, right. Especially right now, it's clip heavy content, you know, like if you only see 3 minutes of a hour and a half long conversation, right, and right. That person was right about one thing, but then they go on to be like, and really, slavery, was it bad?
Right.
I don't think so.
Like, right.
The race to, you know, elevate and champion someone for saying a good thing once is wild.
Yeah.
It's the, you know, participation trophy culture. Like, you really gotta, yes, girl, the whole thing. And you really don't. Like,
you don't.
Yeah, cool. That person said a thing that was correct.
Cool.
Neat.
Wow. I'm not celebrating you because you said water is wet. I'm not doing that.
Right. Like,
it's been wet, guys.
There is a, what's the word? Deification, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, that. As a culture or as a, you know, collective happens. This person said there should be universal basic income. Mm-hmm. There's a, you know, like, so great, awesome. What does that mean? What does it look like? And then it's also like, and also we need to give a lot more money to the police, and we need to also do blah, blah, blah.
Whoa.
And so having a good policy of 10 terribles is not something that we should be like championing. And that isn't to say that you don't, you know, I don't know, positively reinforce the good and continue to critique the bad. But you have to critique the bad. You can't just like, oh, well, the turf stuff is no big deal.
No.
Like,
it's a huge deal.
No, the turf stuff is a really big deal.
Yeah, huge deal.
Yeah. Like, you can't be excited by being right about one thing and then it immediately, once you understand who these people are, like...
Yeah.
There's so much information out there, especially for people like Anna or Tucker, who have been in the public eye for so long. Your record is there. You've been, you know, the video's there.
Yeah. Not hidden.
We can
hidden.
See them. We have the meltdowns of I'm now being excluded because you are not calling me a woman or whatever.
Right. I was following, well, I think I still might be. I'm going to unfollow them. The account Celebrities for Palestine. They were putting out some really good clips of just like, you know, celebrities publicly saying things in support of Palestine and critiquing the Israeli government and their actions. And it was like, you know, being so, whoa, this person said this on this stage and said this in this interview, da 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 da. And they had posted the Anna Kasparian situation last week, and I'm like, I need y'all to not. And in that particular post, there were more people that were aware of Anna's past, and they were like, "Not this ain't it, y'all. Take this down." And then yesterday, they posted Tucker, and I'm like,
"Who is this again?"
Celebrities for Palestine.
Oh,
and I'm like, okay, I just got to unfollow. I can't. And again, I want to be clear. I've said this before. This is for me. This isn't a judgment call for anyone else. It's the same thing with music for me. Hey, I don't listen to certain artists because of their activities that I believe are harmful, and I don't play their music. Whatever you do, that's on you. It's for you. You like it. I love it. Boom, boom. For my sanity and just for the way I need to balance things out, like there's certain things I can and can't consume, and there's certain ways I can and can't consume them. Mm. Or it just throws me off. And I can't be scrolling my timeline and then something like this is being thrown at me from sources that I used to trust.
Right.
So I have to eliminate that source so I have less of a chance of being traumatized by saying that foolishness. And that's just me. That's just me. You know what I'm saying? You listen to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in Nehalem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Along some of the same veins of where we are, but a little tangent. There was a moment when things in New York were going so bad that I remember people were excited about Bloomberg.
Oh, yeah.
And similarly about Cuomo. And Bloomberg, because Cuomo was starting to take a hit in the races over there. Mm. Bloomberg just donated more millions to Cuomo, bringing his total donations to Cuomo's campaign to $8.3 million.
This go round?
Yeah. Yeah.
How?
The Cuomo super PAC, he's just, you know, Bloomberg's like, hey, we need to get him across the finish line here.
Real quick, Michelle said, also, this is the flip side of lateral violence in our movements. We attack each other for buttering our bread on the wrong side, but celebrate dangerous trolls for knowing the time of day. We have to get real. That is exactly it.
Yeah. If you are like actively a part of these conversations and you're out here doing some measure of work, this literally is a participation trophy. You recognize it immediately. And like, what are we even talking about? Yeah. We're over here doing stuff. Why are we taking a pause to celebrate this person doing nothing?
Right.
Like, stuff needs to get done over here. And also, let's not forget that these moments are public moments. These are self-serving situations that helps that individual's brand.
Mm.
Period. This is being done on stages, guys. All right. This isn't like I'm in the street having this conversation. Oh, someone threw a phone in my face and oh, they just happened to catch me. No, you're being invited onto shows or you're creating platforms for these conversations. Very well lit with makeup. It's a performance. Yeah, it's a performance. Yeah. No, let's not get caught up celebrating that. Oh, man. Sorry, I went on a rant this morning, guys.
No rant.
Mm. Well, maybe we should talk about the stories we're going to cover.
That's a thought.
Yeah. Before I spent time watching so much Tucker last night, I did spend some time watching the city council meeting. So we'll be talking about the members that have been appointed to the long-awaited police oversight board. They're in, guys. When they get to oversighting the board, the board's going to get to oversighting the cops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And a former Multnomah County corrections deputy is accused of smuggling drugs to an inmate's boyfriend.
No, to her inmate boyfriend.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend who was also incarcerated.
Yes. Yes.
Which is just nice. So well,
you're just being nice to your boyfriend.
You're just bringing...
to your boo thing.
Yeah. Bringing something into the babes.
Yeah.
You know? Got to make it in there somehow.
You got to dig into the story. Was it Valentine's Day? Are you guys being, like, unrealistic?
You know? In national news, Trump backs the Iran strike plan as tensions escalate between Washington, Tehran, and Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
And if we get to it, student visa process restarts with new requirement. Your social media. Gotta let me see it.
Wild.
Gotta let me see it. Give me the access.
Wild.
Can I add to your list real quick of people to not get excited about? I mean, obviously, the point is, you know, it doesn't actually matter who the person is.
Yeah.
It matters what they believe in and what, the, you know, what rhetoric that they may be spewing.
For sure, sure.
But Candace Owens, A1, Candace Owens is also right now getting a bit of a boost, if you will, for her anti-Israel stance.
Right.
And just a reminder that that is what got her fired from the Daily Wire media conglomerate that is falling apart. The anti-Semitism she did every day. Nope, no big deal.
Totally fine with that.
Not a big one. Not to the any of the, you know, Jewish people that she worked for, including her boss, Ben Shapiro.
Right.
But if you're going to talk about the government of Israel, I have had it.
We've got an issue.
I've had it.
Lady, you've got to find a new home.
Candace has had a couple of moments where she is right about a thing. Yep. And gets shared widely about that thing.
Right.
And I used to be like, hey, guys, actually, don't read that book because she is, in fact, anti-Black. Yes, I know you're looking at a Black woman and you're like, so she must have a good thing to say about this thing.
No.
Or some experience around a thing.
Nope.
Candace is very anti-Black.
Yeah.
She is very anti-Semitic. She is doing all of the white supremacy all of the time.
Yeah. She's a terrible person.
And agreeing with her on one thing or her agreeing with you, you know, like these are the people that get the attention most of the time and are often wrong and often harmful. So just make sure that we're paying attention to their whole stance on things.
Yeah, please do. Hey, AJ.
Good morning, AJ.
Someone just texted. Yes. I mentioned the Doomteenth event. I said they're on the website and they don't see it there. I apologize. I tried to put the events that we do as News of My Fiancé together on our News of My Fiancé event. I mean, events under those events. Maybe I should put, you know, our individual events on there as well. But I will update our Instagram. My Instagram and the website with the information. So the event I mentioned is called Doomteenth. It starts tonight at 7 p.m. at Black Futures Farm. It's an art installation. And there's going to be some storytelling. And it's a three-day event. There's going to be different things happening over the course of the 3 days. I will make sure to get that information up and share it on our website and on our social media. Thank you for asking for the additional information. I'll make sure I get that stuff up. Is it time for a music break?
Just a quick little music break, yeah.
All right, let's get into it. We're going to take a quick music break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to News of My Fiancé with Morgana Jones. Morgana Birthday Jones. What? Is that your name?
I have let you get away with saying Morgana like 7 times this morning.
Okay.
We're going to end it now.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. What if somebody is new to the show and they hear Morgana Jones? Who's that? Is it me? No.
No?
Fine. I don't know what my problem is with this, but there are two people that used to call me Lady Morgana.
Really? Okay.
Yes, so that I went to school with.
Backstory. Let's go.
Middle school, high school, two folks.
Someone used to call you Lady Morgana in middle school?
Yeah.
Props. Okay. Who's doing that in middle
school? Wasn't my name.
Sure, sure. Okay. I'm sorry, I got lost there. Sure, sure, sure. Yeah.
I let those two get away with it. And now I feel like I got to put my foot down.
I'm not mad at that. And you know, I apologize for any trauma that it brought back from middle school. For me, it's loving in a way that reminds me of Leia Organa. It is a Star Wars reference.
What? That's Leia's last name?
Yeah.
Organa?
Yeah, because she's adopted in secret by the Organa family, which is Jimmy Smith's. Jimmy Twist is her dad. And yeah, you know. So, yes.
Going too far.
Yeah. Senator Organa.
Even play. I've never seen Senator Organa.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so to me, it's like Morgana. You know. That's all. You know, a little nerve, if you will. But I did not know people were calling you that in middle school, and it's not like you were going to the Ren Fair. So it's not like you were. That wasn't your deal. Wasn't your thing.
It wasn't. Yeah. I feel like this. It has to be Rudo. So, no more Ghana. Interesting. And Michelle said, Morgan's not the Lady of the Lake. is that what Lady Morgana is? The Lady of the Lake?
I'm not sure if the Lady of the the Lady of the Lake, is it Morgan?
Nerd.
Morgan Le Fair? Le Fay? Morgan Le Fay? I think Morgan Le Fay was Lady of the Lake. I'm not sure. Now we're knee deep in it.
Okay. Is this something I need to be?
You might. Nerd alert. Yeah.
Michelle, do I want to be this? Because maybe I've just been wrong. and that's okay. You know? I will come to everyone here as a woman and admit I've been wrong. And I am, in fact, you know?
Have I been denying my birthright?
Exactly. What did my mom not tell me? Should I go back to her now? Have a chat?
Oh, my gosh.
Sherrington Barrington. What'd you forget to tell me?
Oh, am I the lady in the lake, mother?
Yeah. Is this something I want? That's the answer I really need. Because I will mess around and spend way too much time looking up who this bitch is.
Yo, my stomach is tight right now. Michelle, thank you. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I will apologize a million times.
I've been denying my greatness?
I think maybe I have.
Wow. Okay, so now I'm sweating.
I mean, I feel like maybe that should be the news story instead of anything we're going to talk about. Just kidding, because I definitely want to talk about this police accountability.
Yeah. The oversight board there.
Oversight.
Yeah.
Protection services.
Okay, slow down. Okay, top light, slow down.
Police plan of action.
So, more than 4 years after Portland voters approved a new system for police accountability, the city council is expected to appoint members, well, has appointed members at this point, to the long-delayed oversight board Wednesday night, which is last night. But the final step in launching the community board for police accountability has revived familiar tensions over the city's approach to policing and who should sit in judgment of it. The board, which will replace the Independent Police Review and Citizens Review Committee, will be composed of 21 volunteers and 6 alternates. Familiar names include Carly Edwards, former chief of staff to Commissioner Joanne Hardesty, and Terrence Hayes, a former city council candidate with a more sympathetic view of law enforcement. Hayes' inclusion sparked debate during a council work session, with some officials questioning whether his background aligns with the board's commitment to impartiality. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you something. Being able to sit in on those work sessions, it's really great. It's great. You really feel like you're part of the... You're just right there in the room.
Shout out to Open Signal.
I think Open Signal's handling those broadcasts. Shout out to them. Counselor Candace Avalos voiced opposition to appointing anyone with a very obvious public record of bias.
Seems smart.
I would agree. Pointing implicitly to Hayes. But Counselor Loretta Smith defended his nomination, citing his lived experience as a black man, a father, and someone who was formerly incarcerated. Hayes, whose cousin, Quanice Hayes, was fatally shot by police in 2017, once chaired a committee overseeing Portland's gun violence unit, and has said he wants to improve police-community relations. Police often say that as well. council president.
It's called public relations.
Yeah.
That's what they want.
Alana Purdy Guinea supported a balanced board with voices from across the spectrum, including those with both positive and negative experiences with law enforcement. Counselor Eric Zimmerman called for transparency on how biases were being weighed, pointing out that no objections had been raised about Edwards, a known advocate for police reform. The board will be empowered to investigate police shootings, deaths in custody, and use of force complaints that cause injury. Uniquely, it will have the authority to recommend and impose officer discipline, an authority previously held by the police chief and mayor. However, any discipline involving the police chief will remain under the mayor's control.
Oh, yeah.
Council members will also determine the length of each member's term, 1, 2, or 3 years, and have raised concerns about whether individuals who have previously run for office like Hayes or Bob Weinstein should receive longer appointments. Other nominees included former Police Accountability Commissioner members Charlie Mitchell Wesley and Tim Pitts and Corinne Frechette. Excuse me. Former co-chair of a police advisory committee. The board was selected from among 120 applicants. And the final list of appointees is available on the website. Let me pull that link real quick. On the Portland.gov's website. Yes. Go there and see the city council notes and the agenda. And there's the full list of the 21 plus the 6 alternates. And I will say, Mr. Hayes was not, they had a system set up, and Hayes didn't make the top 15. He had received 4 no votes, him and Weinstein. And there was quite a bit of lobbying on their behalf.
Yeah. Quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
And I find it curious and I'm intrigued. You know, here's one thing. So you said Zimmerman, Counselor Zimmerman called for transparency in how biases were being weighed.
Yeah.
Here's a problem that I consistently see. Looking for some form of objectivity in a place where it doesn't belong. There should not be like, we need equal voices on this board. We need to see that people are objective.
Right.
There's one thing where, yes, people need to be able to be objective about the things that they are weighing in on. But the idea that there are going to be people who are, have never had an issue with the police, who are pro-police, who believe that the police keep us safe, that that's even their job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those people who think that the police need more money in order to make our city safer, that are very willing to strip the resources from the things that actually stop crime in order to pay police more money to do not stop crime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not solve crime. Just lock people up for petty offenses, ruin, you know, neighborhoods, traumatize people, and enact state violence. Like, we do not need the people who think that what the police do are great to be the ones right. doing the oversight. That has right. already been the case.
Right, right, right. This isn't like you're weighing in on a trial.
Right.
The point of this group of people, this board, is police accountability. So if you are pro-police in its current form, you do not believe in police accountability.
Right.
You're already coming in with that slant where you're like, hey, guys, they're already good. No, they're not, which is the point of this board. And they're so bad, they can't hold themselves accountable. So being pro-police is anti-police accountability.
Literally.
Like, what are we talking about? That should be very, like, basic for people to get here. But, alas, here we are.
This text says, oh goodness, the city having an issue centering equity / understanding equity. Shocking. City Hall is a complete dumpster fire.
Yes, AJ, it is.
Fam. Like, for Zimmerman to ask, you know, I want to know how we're weighing these biases, because Edwards didn't get as much criticism, or, you know, or nobody said anything about the person who believes there needs to be police reform. And I ask you, city councilor, do you know what the board is for?
Right.
Do you understand what it's needed for? Like, the thing that really upsets me about this is that we are talking about 4 years later.
Yeah. Because they were kicking and screaming the entire time.
Exactly.
The police.
And I was happy to know that the previous council that had nothing but, not nothing, but an overwhelming amount of pro-police
representation,
that they were not allowed to pick the board. That, you know, that made me incredibly happy. But we're talking about 4 years later, and now many more counselors that have, you know, something to say about it. I need to know that y'all actually understand the assignment. Because if what you are talking about is, we need to know, you know, like, why the pro-police people aren't getting to be immediately passed through.
Right.
Then I fear you don't understand what we're doing here, or what the mission of an oversight and accountability board would be. Because this isn't the thing that you should even be arguing about.
No.
We shouldn't be trying to find more police representation on the board.
No. You clearly do not understand what this is.
They have always policed themselves. They have always shown us that they are not trustworthy. They are not able to do that in a way that even follows the law.
Right.
So putting their family members or their home, their friends, their, you know, whatever, that's a solid no-go from the jump.
Yeah.
Then you go to the people that ran for city council with police backing.
Yeah. That's a right in your face, clear as day bias. And for it to be, you know, one of the things Hayes was championing was, you know, it's about community relations. Hey, everybody. The police have been talking about wanting to improve community relations, not just here in Portland, but in every city across the United States.
And I wonder why they need to improve those public relations or community relations.
Right.
What's happening that you have such a bad reputation?
In addition to that, what's the obstacle? Is the community saying we don't want to relate? We need to improve community relations. We need to improve community relations. That's literally like your 9-year-old walking into the living room and saying, you know what? I really need to clean my room. I really need to clean my room. Eh. I need to pick up after myself. I need to make sure I'm not leaving. So do it.
Are you going
to
do it? Or
are you just going to keep talking about it?
Tell me that you should do it.
So to have a citizen say that's one of the main things that he wants to focus on, improving community relations. You are a puppet, period.
Ooh.
You're a puppet. Stop. And it's painfully obvious. And if you don't see that, spend some time having some conversations with people. But do not waste my time bringing that tired talking point into any point of service for this community. The police are fully aware of what they need to do to improve community relations. It's thoughts and prayers. It's literally what they're doing. Literally. You're out here bashing people's heads in, and then you turn around, put the baton in your back pocket and say, we just want to improve community relations. Are you out of your mind? Like, stop it. And this whole idea of we need to make sure representation is correct. Well, Loretta said, well, if I'm correct, he's the only black man that has had interaction with the police. So we need that representation. Do we? Based on that?
Hold on. He's the only black man on that list who has had interactions with the police?
This is what she said. First, she said he's the only black man. Then she was corrected by city council president. Like, there's actually someone else that identifies as a black man. But Loretta was like, to continue with her point, campaigning for why Terrence should be included. And I'm just like, I don't know.
Again, I don't want Candace Owens on any board that is supposed to be doing anything with the lens of a black woman, because that's not the way she lives, right? So, right. Like, Terrence Hayes being the representation for black men in Portland is wild.
Wild. Wild.
Ross said it's like demanding to have a health inspector who is pro E. coli.
Right.
It's exactly that.
Exactly.
Because, you know, we need to be fair and balanced.
We got to be fair to E. coli.
We gotta know what we can't just slander it.
E. coli's got a bad rap. It's part of nature, guys. It naturally occurs. It's not E. coli's fault. If you don't get out of here.
I don't actually know the exact moment when, you know, or whatever that made us get to the point of this where we confuse being objective on scenarios, issues, and we confuse objectivity and equity or any sort of equality to who is a part of a thing, right? I don't know how we got to this point where we are so confused on what is important. And because what ends up happening is we focus on that part instead of what the job is actually to do.
Right.
And the idea that you need to include people who are pro-police and believe that what they're doing doesn't even garner oversight.
Right.
That doesn't garner accountability. What's the accountability to be had? What really needs to happen here is a public relations moment.
And more funding.
We just need to, you know, maybe support a couple of basketball teams. That'll keep all the black youth off the street. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
this poor money into the police athletic league.
Yeah.
And Sunshine Division.
I will, in fact, harm you physically with weapons later.
Right.
But right now, you know, maybe we can shoot a couple.
Shoot some hoops.
Yeah, shoot some hoops. Have a little fun. It's absolutely mind-bottling, as you say.
Yeah.
It bottles the mind. That your idea of accountability includes people who don't think they need it. And that you would champion that. And you would lobby for that. You would campaign for a person. Simply because they meet one criteria that sounds good on paper. All skin folk ain't kin folk.
Yeah. Don't play in my face.
Do not get confused.
Do not play in my face, please.
It's getting very tired.
Yeah. This board is to police the police. And now you're saying we need pro-police policing of the police. That's what we've always had. Like, stop it. So I am very curious. I think they're supposed to have their first meeting by July 28th. I'm very curious as incidents will continue to happen, because the media is already saying it looks like we're going to be heading into a long, hot summer with these protests. So we'll have many instances in which we'll be able to see the board at work. And I want to see how this plays out. I really do hope that the more sensible voices that are on this board will have the power and ability to hold the police accountable and make sure disciplinary actions are taken. Because what we don't need is more of the same thing.
Right.
We just don't. We just don't, guys. Yeah.
I'd like a music break.
Would you?
Yeah.
All right. I got a music break ready for you. We'll be right. We'll be RB. And we are back. Welcome back to News with My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Shoot us a text. Join the conversation at 971-220-5979. Again, that number is 971-220-5979. We got a little something on the DJ text line.
We do. Shout out to Gloria. Gloria said, I just lost it. I love this show. Marry me. Either of yous. And then we will, Gloria. Then said, I live on 23rd. I've seen and stopped police beat the homeless, houseless. Not surprised to see the latest news that PDX has more houseless dead than LA. Also, I'm a med interpreter. Crazy how many people refuse the vaccination. I think that's what that's supposed to abbreviated. Also, we have TB and measles here in the schools, too.
Yeah.
TB is wild.
Yeah. Super wild. What are we doing?
That's tuberculosis, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Previously known as consumption.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Right.
Also, measles, it makes me lose all my words.
Yeah. Why are we doing this, guys?
What's scary for me is the people who, you know, whose brains got broken during COVID and they don't understand science or medicine at this point. We're seeing the immediate impact of that, right? Or, you know, like. But then what's it look like years from now for the folks that are
right
much smarter and know so much more about this stuff than me? What does this mean in 10 years when or 15 years when, you know, the kids that are 5 now that didn't get any vaccines are 20 and then some of them have kids? What's it mean? Like, are those kids not going to get vaccines too? And then we're just, you know, going completely backwards. What's the trajectory of this?
Because
that's what scares me, is that it's just going to be like a bunch of people dying from things that we have preventative measures for. Yeah. Like, sorry, also got a new pair of glasses recently, and this is the most distracting thing in the world. There's like a, you know, the nose pad.
Yeah. It's not comfortable.
It's like they didn't, there's round it all. Like there's a little piece of plastic that is digging into my face.
Not cool. Like a little burr there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not cool.
And the problem is when I take my glasses off, can't see a thing. Yeah. Not a thing.
They're good looking glasses too.
Thanks.
Yeah.
They're being an enemy of progress in the moment. They hurt very bad, but it's the, finally I have my, you know.
Proper. Prescription.
Prescription.
There. Look at you.
Yeah.
Now you see the world for what it is.
8K, baby. Technicolor. So I want to get into this other local story. That these kind of stories where someone falls in love with an incarcerated person and they're, you know, a guard are one of my very favorite kinds of stories.
Like, it's true.
I love, give me the movie, the miniseries, the show, the book.
Love After Lockup, we love it.
Give me all. Well, no. What I'm going for very specifically is the guard to incarcerated person situation, because there are so many different dynamics that go into.
What was that last one you were watching? It was like Escape from Dannemora.
Escape from Dannemora. And I still haven't finished it. Yeah. There's only like 5 episodes. Okay. What is wrong with me? You know? That one, she wasn't a guard, but she worked in the prison as like as a seamstress, basically. Like she ran the shop where they, you know, do the prison labor. And she ends up getting involved with one incarcerated person and then another one. And it's this little love triangle they have going, but she's going to help them escape. And she did. This kind of thing happens all the time.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. For me, these are hilarious and very entertaining. Former Multnomah County Corrections deputy is accused of smuggling drugs to inmate boyfriend. Former Multnomah County Corrections deputy is facing felony charges after allegedly developing a romantic relationship with a jailed man and later smuggling drugs to him inside the downtown Portland jail. Devonna Preble, hopefully I'm saying your name right, 43, was arrested Tuesday following a months-long investigation by the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office. She was booked at the same facility where she once worked.
Yikes.
The Multnomah County Detention Center. And now faces three felony charges, including supplying contraband, along with four misdemeanor counts of official misconduct. According to investigators, recorded jail phone calls revealed that Preble began a relationship with Marcus Jimenez in early 2023 while working as a corrections deputy. By February of that year, she had allegedly brought drugs into the facility for Jimenez. In a separate incident in May 2023, Portland police say Preble attempted to conceal Jimenez's identity during a domestic disturbance at her residence and then identified herself as a county deputy. Quote, our deputies take an oath to uphold the law and maintain the highest ethical standards, said Multnomah County Sheriff Nicole Morrissey O'Donnell in a statement. She continued, the actions of this formal employee violated that oath and compromised the integrity of our agency. This case sort of shows the commitment. I'm sorry, this is still the quote. This case underscores our commitment to accountability and public trust. Preble is scheduled to appear in Multnomah County Circuit Court on Friday. The sheriff's office has emphasized that its investigation reflects its zero tolerance policy for staff misconduct. Now, Ambush, why am I so fascinated with the interpersonal relationships of guards and incarcerated people?
Is it because it's so commonplace?
Maybe.
So it needs to be studied?
I would be shocked if this hasn't been studied. Like, there is a power dynamic there that is incredibly interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Because
it's cyclical in ways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One, we do not hear a lot about the men who bring in contraband as guards because there may not be a sexual dynamic to it.
There may be financial gain, but
it's just a touch of corruption, right? How are you going to feed your family if you don't bring in the cocaine for the, you know what I mean? Like, somehow for the dude bros, it's totes fine, man. And also, we can keep this under wraps.
Yeah.
We don't really even need to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I want to be very clear. That's the kind of, what's it called? Like, the quantity that they will bring is not just for an incarcerated person or that person and their couple of friends. It's literally for someone to sell widely, right?
Yeah.
And this may have been the case for she and this guy. Like, she may have been bringing in big amounts and he was a distributor. Who knows? We don't know that part yet. But what we know for sure is that there was a interpersonal relationship, a romantic relationship, which I guess is just more interesting or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, they somehow feel like the oath that they have sworn to uphold has now been violated way more than had you just done a little bit of the corruption. Right. You know, had you just brought in some... What? But also, let's talk about that power dynamic real quick.
Man.
Let's talk about the way that people are able to abuse their power in situations like this and how they are then able to be manipulated. because there are plenty of folks that believe I'm the one who has the upper hand in this scenario, right? When people have romantic relationships with incarcerated folks, you will hear some people say, I don't have to worry about where they are.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to worry about them cheating on me. I don't have to worry about them getting harmed, doing something weird. You know, like we know where they are. Everything's fine. We talk every day. We see each other as much as possible. Ideal relationship for a lot of folks.
And we hear similar things with those that are like corresponding with people that are incarcerated. And yeah, that whole process to them being released, and then things go haywire.
Once you're not the same as you were when you were in there.
You just want to be out and running the streets.
Yeah. Yeah, you're dang right they do.
Yeah. Who are these other ladies?
What do you think happens when you take somebody out of, operation?
Yeah.
For however long the sentence is. The ability, I was about to tell a story that I shouldn't tell. So sorry for the pause.
Was that a good thing?
There are moments that I'm like, I have a very close connection that I could tell this story, right? Okay. Like, and then
it's not my story to tell.
It's not, that is literally what just went through my mind. You saved me a long time ago. Like, that's not your story to tell. You don't get to tell that story. Oh, okay. You're right. Anyway, the dynamic, especially with women guards who believe that they are have the upper hand in that scenario, don't see the manipulation coming or don't see whatever strings are being pulled. And then all of a sudden, you know, here you are going to jail. He's probably out now. You know what I mean?
How about that?
And I'm just going to, you know, is he going to hold you down, babe?
I feel like he won't, which is not good.
No.
No, that's not rewarding.
Certainly not rewarding. Certainly not worth it. Certainly, you know, like none of the things. But I want more of this story, I guess.
She went to season two.
I want season two. So I will be spending too much time looking into both of these people.
I mean, we could just ask her for an interview.
Yeah, we'll do that.
She's local.
Yeah.
You know?
The question I have, why were you talking on the phone when y'all know, you know that they're recorded? Were you doing that?
Here's the thing.
This is you have the inside scoop. Unless you were like, okay, I got a homie who will delete.
Right.
You know, Tom loves me. And I bring him meatloaf or whatever it is that makes you and your coworker tight.
But maybe.
But you forgot to ask for them to delete the phone calls? Like,
maybe your affection for your incarcerated boyfriend caused you to overlook the love Tom really has for you. And in a jealous rage.
Oh, he's the snitch.
He did not delete the call.
Maybe he handed the call over to your boss.
Yeah. He's like, this needs to come to an end. She does not. He's not the only one that loves you. Tom. Out here in the real world, who can be here for you.
Right.
And you're spending all your time asking me to delete phone calls between you and that person. That could be it, too.
That could be it.
We will only get these answers if we get the interview.
Fair.
Yeah. And tell her, like, hey, don't just wait for the book deal. Let's get ahead of it. Make this the forward, if you will.
I like it.
You know?
I like it a lot.
You know? That power dynamic is very interesting, though, because, like, yeah, it's a seesaw.
Yes.
It really is.
It's like the police that get their first taste of, like, a bribe or corruption or something. Like,
yeah.
Where it's like you think that you have the upper hand because of your job.
Right.
Your job is supposed to make people be afraid of you and fearful of your authority and what you can do. But the moment that they find out you're viable, baby, your authority is out the window.
Out the window.
The authority is theirs now.
You're a lapdog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as soon as, what's going to happen if your boss finds out?
What's going to happen when your boss finds out you didn't cut him in?
Right. Ooh. That you've been getting 10 grand a week from me. What are the white shirts going to say?
Ooh. Yeah.
And you know, you got a taste of that 10K a week.
It tastes good.
You love it. It's filet mignon.
It's your fave.
It's your favorite. You don't want to lose that.
Nah.
I got a palate now.
Yeah.
I switch things around.
Imagine that.
I drink good wine.
You're getting your paycheck. You're lining up your pension.
Right.
And you're getting this weekly bonus.
And plus, you know, you're probably committing time clock fraud with the overtime.
Yeah.
Hey.
That feels like you're in big charge.
Doesn't it? Makes you feel like your chest is huge.
Yeah. Unstoppable.
But you are literally any step away. Any step. Any misstep away from losing it all because you opened the door to make yourself no longer the authority. Much like here in this dynamic, the moment that, I mean, you can do the I'll tell, right?
Right.
And you, if you're the one who's getting that threat, you can be like, well who's going to believe you? You're just a inmate.
Right.
You know, like, who's going to believe you? So likely someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Likely enough to make them investigate.
Yeah.
And then they're going to listen to your calls.
I do like what you brought up earlier. It's interesting. It's interesting that it never crossed my mind. But again, patriarchy, you know, sexism, that's the way society works.
So fun.
That there aren't many conversations, not just about the male correctional officers that are participating and bringing in contraband, but also the male correctional officers that are in relationships with female incarcerated folk that are doing this very exact thing.
Yeah.
That's not something we see portrayed in fiction a lot, reported on a lot. It's just the women guards.
It's just the women, the women guards. Yeah. I beg to differ.
I also
don't think that there's going to be, I think that there's also the dynamic of men guards having relationship with men inmates and there being no chatter.
Yeah. Zero chatter. Yeah.
But, you know, I think I cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that power dynamic, that wonkiness there, or that it can happen. Because don't get me wrong. There are guards, correctional officers, law enforcement that are simply abusing people. They are abusing their power. They are abusing people. They are making traumatizing folks, right? There are people that are fully and totally in control and abusing it. And then there are also people who believe they're in control.
Right.
And being it. But then they're not. I mean, they're abusing their power, but they're not in control. And I firsthand know some of those dynamics of one, as a person thinking this is the ideal relationship because I don't have to worry about where this person is or what they're doing or, you know, because I talk to them on the phone all day and we write letters to each other as soon as we get off the phone.
Right.
And he's, you know, having his friends draw pictures of me or, you know, like, and it's so amazing and cute and romantic and I love it. And then that person have a full blown relationship with a guard who also feels the same way that they're like, I don't have to worry about them. They're right here.
They're not
I
going
see
anywhere.
Them every day. We talk on the phone when I'm not at work. We write letters to each other. Like, and then maybe you listen to this, but maybe you listen as the guard to a jail call and find out Man's got a few others. Sending money on the books.
Uh-oh. That's not what we agreed to. How's this happening? You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in the Halem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. You got that look in your eyes.
Well, we got a text that says, "Hey, News with my fiance. Love the show and heard you talk about Morgana. Having lived in Texas in the 90s, I immediately remembered this Morgana." And then I can't open that link, so I'm going to try and...
Okay.
Hope this isn't a virus.
You know? And they say, keep it up. Dibs.
Morgana Roberts, an American entertainer who became known as Morgana or Morgana, the Kissing Bandit.
Whoa. You're a kissing bandit, bro?
I don't think so. The Kissing Bandit in baseball and other sports from 1969 through 99. 1999 was a fantastic year for me. So, you know. She was also billed as Morgana the Wild One when appearing as a dancer in the 80s. Wow. Wow. Sorry.
We're going to do all this research.
Yeah, she rushed the field on many occasions and kissed Major League Baseball players, including Nolan Ryan, Pete Rose.
That is hilarious. Johnny Bench
and George Brett twice. Oh, my God. This is hilarious. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Wow.
That's hilarious. That's dope.
Her birthday is 4th of July, so...
You got to be kidding me.
It's just doing patriotic service right there.
That's it.
I think.
That's it. Service our community.
Just patriotic sexual harassment. Assault, actually. That's sexual assault.
That's assault.
Yeah, like that's battery?
Assault, guys.
What?
That's assault, guys.
That is wild.
Oh my
just
God.
Just rush the field and give, like, was this on the mouth? Like, oh this, my word.
This is sounding familiar. The Kissing Bandit is sounding familiar to me. Wow.
Well, everybody knows what I'm about to do with the rest of my day.
There's a long legacy of Morgana's.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got to find my roots. Got to find out which one I've, you know.
Am I the Lady of the Lake? Am I the Kissing Bandit? What's happening here?
It sounds like right now I want to be the Lady of the Lake.
Yeah. I think so.
And if I get to choose my own adventure, that's the one I would choose.
Not mad at that.
I don't want to, like, get strep throat.
Yeah.
From
kissing players.
Yeah, or mono from running out. And
definitely getting mono from kissing players in the mouth.
Kissing folks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guess what? Well, guess what, guys? That was today's show.
We did it.
We did it. News of My Fiance, brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush, and our illustrious podcast editor, Kyle G. of Residual Audio. Kyle, our gig seats came in. I got the seats for when we have outside gigs now, and we don't have to stand up the whole
good
time.
Good lawn chairs.
They're awesome. They sit high. We're going to be, I mean, your legs could almost swing. Not
they're not
you
that,
specifically,
no.
But like, we could almost swing our legs.
No, nobody could swing their legs from that unless you're under 3 feet.
They're great seats, Kyle. You're going to love them. And there's spots for drinks on both arms. So it's great. the playlist has been updated. It's also this morning. And listen, we mentioned a bunch of events in the beginning of the show. This weekend is chocked full of them. We're all over the place. But you can definitely catch the two of us.
In person.
On Sunday, Lake Oswego.
Millennium Park.
We are hosting the Juneteenth celebration there. It's going to be fab. This will be our second year.
Yeah.
Doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Later on that night, it'll be No Requests. Queens versus the Bay.
That's all one day.
Yeah.
Rough stuff.
It is a rough situation for me.
I will also add that the following weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We will be... in person.
Hello. 2 days straight.
Together again.
Yep.
Hosting My People's Market.
You know how we do it this time.
This time at the Rose Quarter Commons.
Oh, man. It's going to be so dope. We've never hosted it there before.
No, but that was the first My People's Market I ever went to was there.
Yeah. We went as a fam.
Yeah.
We're all fam in the club.
Indeed.
Yeah. It was so good.
So, you know, if you want to say hi. We'll be at these things.
We have these Jones. So, yes. And I will be at White Eagle. No, White Owl Friday night.
Oh, this is where you're going to really mess it up. Okay. Yeah. Friday night, White Owl for Carnival.
Carnival. Me, A-Flat, DJ Storm Jr.
Yes. And then Sunday is White Eagle.
Yeah.
For No Requests.
Correct.
The Bay versus Queens.
Yes.
Also, Morgan's birthday.
Yes. It's going down
Brooke,
to the town.
Brooke, I'm just wondering, ice cream cake or...
cake with ice cream.
You know. Hope to see a bunch of y'all there.
Yes, yes. Really looking forward to it. Do not let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening. And you will catch us Monday night on the YouTube for Monday Night Raw Live, 6:30 to 8:30. You guys stay cool. Stay cool out there, man. Stay cool and stay hydrated. All right?
Do that one.
Okay. Up next, it's Tom Hartman.
Bye. We'll be right back.